You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Gospel and Mormonism, is the third message in the series, What's the Difference?, is based on Galatians chapter 1 and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Is the difference? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to read from, again, the book of Galatians is where we find ourselves. And these are just crazy words, and they have such incredible meaning. And we've been reading these words for 3 weeks because it has incredible ramifications within our lives. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Let these sink into you this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have left our homes this morning, Lord, and come again to this house, to this place of gathering, to this place of meeting, and we come, Lord, to worship you in spirit. We come, Lord, to worship you in truth. We come, Lord God, as those who are seeking God. We pray that as we gather in this place, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us, that God, you would help us to understand things that has been freely given to us from heaven. We pray, Lord God, for a spirit of clarity. We pray, Lord God, for a spirit of understanding this morning as we once again take a look at the New Testament gospel of Jesus. What is the New Testament gospel of Jesus, and what does it mean to our lives? So, Lord, we come here today and we praise you and we recognize that you are with us. And so we say these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And y'all may be seated. Good morning again. Are you guys, you doing okay today? I was talking with my friend Mike. He says that he's in Tennessee. Mike and Ann O'Neill used to come here. They moved to Tennessee, and church was canceled for them today because of snow. Well, there's no snow here, so nothing was canceled. Now, I realize there's a big football game on today. My wife's really excited about it. Not, but we will. That's a 12:05 game, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but we'll be done here, and we're going to have fun. I want to welcome you to a third week of a series that we are doing here at Woodbridge Church, and the series is called What's the Difference? What is the difference? And what we're doing is we are holding up the New Testament gospel of Jesus. This is the gospel of Jesus. Holding it up, saying, this is what it is, and then comparing the New Testament gospel of Jesus to other religious thoughts and religions, and asking the question as we look at these, well, what is the difference? 2 weeks ago, we just talked about this is the gospel. And if you weren't here and you need to, you want to catch that, it's kind of the foundation that we're building it from. It's on our website. You can get a CD of it after the service. But we just talked about the first Sunday. What is the difference? What is the gospel? And this is the gospel of Jesus. Last week, we talked about Islam. what is Islam and what is the New Testament gospel of Jesus and how are they different? And this week, today, we're going to be doing Mormonism. Next week, we're doing what's called religious traditions, even within Christendom. Over 2,000 years, even within Christendom, we've even dabbled and touched the gospel or the cross of Christ, and we'll be talking about that next week. And then we're going to be doing, Rabbi Feldman's going to come here, and he's going to talk about modern-day Judaism and the New Testament gospel of Jesus. What's the difference? And then we're going to cruise into New Age spiritualism, Scientology. We'll hang out with Tom Cruise. And then the next week we're going to do Jehovah's Witnesses, and we're even trying to squeeze in. We're getting requests to do both Hinduism and Buddhism, so we're trying to figure out how to do all this between now and Easter. But we are on a journey, okay? Now let me say this. I said it last week, and I want to say it again. Tolerance means that you don't have to agree with what another person says in their entirety, okay? Tolerance means that you can adamantly disagree with somebody and still be cordial and kind. Do you understand? I have friends that are Muslims. I don't hate Muslims. I love Muslims. I don't love Islam, which is the theology of Muslims. I can love the Muslim and not love or embrace the belief system of that. Do you understand? Let me say this morning, I have friends that are Mormons. I have relatives that are Mormons. I love these people. They are wonderful, kind people. They have incredible values. We've had neighbors of Mormons over the year, great people. I don't hate Mormons, okay? I actually love them, but I don't love Mormonism. Mormonism. I don't love or embrace the prophet or the teachings of the belief system of Mormons, but I can still love them. And that's called tolerance. Do you understand? Tolerance means that you can disagree with somebody and still be cordial and kind. My intention through this whole series is I want to be cordial, kind, and clear. Because as we go through this series, there are huge differences with radical implications of what the New Testament gospel of Jesus is that was preached in the first century and what these other religious thoughts or religions are. Huge differences. And so we're asking the question, well, what are the differences? Very honest, very open, very clear. Last Sunday, friends, I spent an hour out in the foyer talking with wonderful Muslim people, those that had become believers in Jesus and those that are on their spiritual journey, and just trying to figure out what New Testament Christianity compares to Muslims. We had a wonderful conversation for an hour out in the foyer, and it was just cordial, kind, and clear. It was a blast. And that's where we're at. So that's the spirit of what we're doing and where we're going. Does that make sense? Is that okay with you? And let me say this. If you're here this morning and you are on, you're not particularly of the New Testament gospel, and maybe you're here from another faith, or maybe you're here on another spiritual journey, and you're just trying to figure out who God is, and does God even exist? I want to say welcome this morning. So glad you're here. You are a guest. You are welcome. Out in the foyer, I showed this last week, but I love this material, and it's called Christianity and Other Religious Thoughts, basically. And it compares Christianity to pretty much any religious thought that you can think of. And these are out in the foyer. We bought them. They're $3 each. And I bought 50 of them to start the series. And then Pastor Vince said, you know, I think we should buy 100. I said, okay, we have 8 left after last Sunday. 98 of them were taken. So we went and got another bunch. And if you didn't get one last week and you want one, go ahead and grab one. I think it'll help you on your own spiritual journey of trying to figure out what's the difference, as well as we have out in the foyer CDs of the gospel of Jesus. It's the story of Jesus, and it's in every language that you can imagine on the planet. And if you're here and you've come, your native language is not English, and you'd like to understand Jesus or hear about Jesus in your own language, you can get a CD out there, and that CD will have the story of Jesus in your language. And so welcome you in your spiritual journey. Welcome to the journey with us this morning. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about, let me tell you a story. The story goes like this. 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, who at the age of 33 years old was in Jerusalem and was crucified on a cross by Pontius Pilate, and 3 days later rose from the dead, Easter. This Jesus was born of a virgin birth. This Jesus led a perfect, sinless life, and this Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Incredible teacher, miracle man from Galilee, fulfilling hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament, and he rocked the world 2,000 years ago, and he's rocking the world today, okay? There was a man named Paul who was a religious leader of the day called a Pharisee who was totally opposed to the people of Jesus in this explosion, this Jesus movement that started 2,000 years ago. Paul was putting people in prison and killing people that were proclaiming Jesus, and this guy ends up meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he gets converted. He becomes a believer in Christ, the most wicked man you could think of, the ultimate terrorist 2,000 years ago, becomes a total proponent of Christ. He starts proclaiming Jesus. He becomes this amazing missionary going all over the Roman world telling people about Jesus. He ends up writing half of the New Testament. And Paul, the apostle, goes up to a place in Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey, and he tells people about Jesus. This group of people get saved. They believe in Christ. And Paul, after he would plant a church, get it going, he'd move to another place, another place, another place. He was a ministry animal, telling everybody he can the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And what happened 2,000 years ago is if Paul left Galatia, a group of people from Jerusalem came behind him and they began messing with the message that Paul gave. They said, yes, Paul's a nice guy. Yes, Paul preached to you the gospel. And yet Paul's message that he gave you wasn't totally 100% right or accurate. And they began messing with the message of the Apostle Paul. The best that I can find, I love this verse. If you could stir this verse in your head, it's a great one. What is the message that Paul was preaching through the churches? It's this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And I'll tell you, if there's ever scriptures to underline in your Bible, these are them. These are just wonderful things to stir in. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, through the Messiah, through Jesus. God reconciled his creation. Reconciled his creation through Christ. Does anyone in here want to be reconciled to God? I do. I don't want to be separated from my Creator. I want to be reconciled to my Creator. How does God the Father reconcile the world? Through Christ, right? So all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, Paul says, a ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, listen to this, not counting people's sins against them. Does anybody in here not want your sins counted against you when you go to heaven? Anyone? Anyone? Friends, I went to a service this week, a memorial service. And every time I go to a service, and especially when there's a casket, an open casket, and you're looking at this person, and there's they are, right? There they are. And people are talking about this person and their life and this, and there's an open casket, and there's a dead body. This last week, as I was at Miguel's memorial service, I kept looking in there saying, his sins will not be counted against him. Is that a good thing? It's huge. Just ask our brother Miguel, who's in glory today. He's been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus on the cross died for our brother of all his sins. All means all, and that's all that all means. All sin. Your sins will not be counted against you. This is the great news of the gospel. Religion is this. Religion is people through moral effort trying to work their way to be right with God. I need to do certain things through moral effort and try to work my way up to God, which you can't. the gospel is God, in his love, mercy, and grace, works his way down to you. You get that? And dies for your sins. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not of your works. It's a gift from God. Let no one boast. It's the gospel. This is the gospel that Paul was preaching. People were going behind and saying, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but there's still some things you still need to do in order to have your sins forgiven. So it's Jesus plus something. It's Jesus plus some moral effort that you need to do. It's Jesus plus some old, what they were saying is Old Testament religious ritual you need to also do, okay, in order to be saved. And friends, we can do this in the church. It's Jesus plus water baptism. It's Jesus plus you coming to church every week. It's Jesus plus you giving money. Or it's Jesus plus you, as long as you do your quiet time every day. It's Jesus plus something. You touch the gospel, okay? And Paul says, not a good idea. When Paul hears that people are saying it's Jesus plus something, he writes the letter of Galatians. And in the letter of Galatians, it's a harsh letter. It's a tough letter. Paul writes back to these people and says, not true. The good news of the gospel is Jesus died for all your sins on the cross once and for all, and that by receiving Jesus by faith, you are saved, forgiven, reconciled to God. The gospel of Jesus is Jesus plus nothing. Can you all say that with me again this morning? Jesus plus nothing. That's the gospel of Paul. That's the New Testament gospel. Jesus dies for all your sins. If you say that you have to add something to what Jesus did here, you take away from what he did here. Do you understand? Paul says, don't mess with the gospel. And Paul writes and he says, I am amazed, shocked, stunned that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you. And the Apostle Paul says, man, the gospel I gave you is the gospel from Christ himself. And if any man or even an angel from heaven comes and preaches to you a different gospel, let that person or that angel be accursed. And it's the Greek word anathema. It means dedicated for destruction. Paul is basically saying, if anyone touches the gospel of Jesus, let them be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Paul says, if I come back and preach to you a different gospel than the one I originally gave you, let me be damned. I mean, it's a harsh word. Paul is intense in this, okay? It's the gospel. Okay, very important that we understand what the gospel is. Now, Paul warns us, hey man, if an angel comes and gives you a different gospel, be careful. Well, guess what? Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago, and this has happened twice. We have two religious faiths today that exist on planet Earth that were started and exist because of revelations from other angels. One is Islam, which we talked about last week, and the one we're going to talk about today is Mormonism. Now, I want you just to write this down real quick. In your notes, take notes on this and talk about this in your growth groups this week or at lunch today. I want you to write this down. It's very important. If you mess with the identity of Jesus, who died on the cross for you, or what Jesus did by dying on the cross for you, you change the gospel. If you change who the person is who died on the cross for you, or what the person did who died on the cross for you, you change the gospel. Stir that in your mind. It's important. It's very important. It's very important. Now, let me say this morning. Last week we did Islam and we survived and that's fine. This week as we talk about Mormonism, it gets real tricky because when you talk to Mormon people, we use the same words, but they have totally different definitions. And that's where it gets really, really tricky in when we deal with Mormonism. For example, if I was to say the words this morning, watch the power of punctuation. You ready? If I was to say, let's eat, Grandma. What are you thinking about? Over the hills and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. We're thinking of Thanksgiving. We're thinking of turkey. We're going to have a great time. Now, what if I take out the comma and just say, let's eat, Grandma? What just happened? We moved from Thanksgiving to cannibalism. Okay? That's the power of punctuation. How much more so The power of definition. The power of definition. Because I could say the same word, but have a completely different meaning. I could say, hey, man, that's really cool. Well, that means I like it, or that's something that I think is pretty... Or I could say, this is really cold. It's like, well, what do you mean by your definition? That's really cool. I mean, is it cold or is it cool? Awesome. Right? I mean, when we journey into this, we are dealing with, within the Mormon Church, the Church of Latter-day Saints, we use the same word and have completely different definitions. So just keep that in mind as we go for this. You ready? Here we go. What is the difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and Mormonism? Here's how this goes. Let me just give you a little background of Mormonism. According to Mormonism, there are two significant events or scenes that took place. Number one was in 1820 in the state of New York. Joseph Smith was 14 years old and confused on which church to join. So he went out to pray in the woods, and he was visited, he says, by God the Father and Jesus Christ, and told him not to join any Christian church because they're all wrong, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm going to read from Mormon literature today. First one I'm going to read is from the Doctrine of Covenants, Pearl of Great Price. This is what God says to Joseph Smith in Pearl of Great Price. It's on page 49. I was answered that I must not join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those who professed were all corrupted, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So God says, don't join any Christian church, because they're all wrong, and the creeds of Christendom are an abomination to God. You with me so far? Okay. God tells him that he's going to use Joseph Smith to reestablish the true church, Christian church, and that the Book of Mormon would be the means of establishing correct doctrine for the restoration of the church. Okay. In 1823, Joseph Smith was visited by an angel named Moroni, who once was a human who lived 1,400 years ago, became an angel, and Moroni was the last guardian of metal plates that contained the records of the history of the peoples of the American continent that was written in Egyptian hieroglyphics, okay? So when you see Mormon churches, you don't see crosses, you usually see an angel. This is the angel Moroni. You with me? Okay? From 1823 to 1827, Moroni would visit Joseph and prepare him for his calling from God. In 1827, he showed him the metal plates buried in the hill of up in upstate New York. And from 1827 to 1829, Joseph Smith translates the plates to the Book of Mormon. Okay? So here's my Book of Mormon, which I've read. I had a nice man give it to me. Let me just give you the introduction to the Book of Mormon. It says, the Book of Mormon is a volume of holy scriptures comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The book was written by many ancient prophets by the spirit of prophecy and revelation. Their words, written on gold plates, were quoted and abrogated by a prophet historian named Mormon. The record gives an account of two great civilizations. One came from Jerusalem in 600 BC and afterwards separated into two nations known as the Nephites and the Lamanites. The other came much earlier when the Lord confounded the tongues at the Tower of Babel. This group is known as the Jaredites. After thousands of years, all were destroyed except the Lamanites, and they are the principal ancestors of the American Indians. Concerning this gospel, concerning this record, the prophet Joseph Smith said, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth, and that the keystone of our religion, and a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book. Okay? What's the claim? Claim is that Joseph Smith is God's last days prophet, okay? The Book of Mormon is a holy book. It's comparable to the Bible. It's more accurate than the Bible. It's the most accurate, correct, holy book on earth, nearer to God with this book than any other. It's more right than the teachings or the writings of Moses or the prophets or the 12 apostles of Jesus, including the book of Galatians that falls under the Apostle Paul. Okay? The LDS Church is the true church. Mormonism is a restoration of Christianity. Let me say that again. Mormonism is a restoration of Christianity. It's a fix to something that God started, but the church messed up after the original 12 apostles died. Now, how's that for a claim? That's quite a statement, isn't it? Okay, now the Apostle Paul writes that if an angel comes and gives you a different gospel, let that angel be dedicated for destruction. There are two faiths on the earth today that both were started by revelation from angels, long after Paul wrote these words. And they're very similar in many ways. And let me just do this. In my own, I'm a journeyman. I'm on a spiritual journey. And I've read the Quran. I've read the Book of Mormon. There's interesting similarities. And I want you to write these down because I think it's fabulous. There is interesting similarities between Islam and Mormonism. And here they are. You ready? Take notes on these. Number one, they both involve angels in the revelation of God. Both of them do. They both teach about Jesus. In the Book of Mormon, it teaches about Jesus. In Islam, Jesus is quoted 90-some times. They both teach about Jesus. And they both accept the Bible as from God. Both Islam says it's the people of the book, and Mormonism says they both accept the Bible as from God. They both teach that God, check this out, they both teach. The presupposition of both of these faiths is this, that God tried to communicate clearly in the Bible, but man over time corrupted his message. Let me say that again. They both teach, this is the presuppositions of both of these faiths. They both teach that God tried to communicate clearly in the Bible, but man over time corrupted God's message. They both teach that God had to redo his message through another prophet, be it Muhammad or Joseph Smith. Are you with me? They both teach that this time it can't be corrupted. A Muslim today would say God doesn't need to send any other prophets because now God's message in the Quran is uncorruptible. Mormonism would say God has now restored his message through the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and they even have modern-day prophets today that are constantly getting revelations from God. It's a living revelation. So God now will never be inaccurate, or mankind can never mess up what God's trying to communicate. God has learned how to now communicate clearly with man, and it can't be messed up anymore, okay? The God of Islam and the God of Mormonism is a God learning how to communicate to his creation over time. That's it. He tried the first time, man messed it up, so he had to try again, sends a new prophet, and now his message to humanity is correct forever. It's correct again, and it'll never be messed up again. Have you ever learned? Do you ever remember being in a class and failing a class and had to retake a class? Anyone? Yeah. Business calculus was me. I have my AA degree in business, Saddleback College. I had to take business calc. I remember taking that one semester, got a D. D's don't transfer from a JC to a university. I had to retake the class again to at least get a C. I had to learn business calc, okay? Anyone else? Does this ring a bell? God has to learn how to communicate. He's figuring it out. That's the presuppositions of both Islam and Mormonism. Okay? What's the difference between the God of the Bible and we'll just say the God of Mormonism this morning? It's number this. Write this down. I want to be clear this morning. The God of the Bible doesn't learn. It's a different God. The God of the Bible doesn't learn. He's not up in heaven trying to figure it out. Psalm 47:5 says this, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. Define infinite. Listen to this. Psalm 139, 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and know me, King David writes. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Listen to this. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you already know it. God knows what I'm going to say before I say it. God is not waiting in time, waiting to figure out what's going on. He already knows what's going to happen before it happens. Now listen to this. 1 John 3:20 says, in whatever our hearts condemns us, for God is greater than our hearts, and God knows all things. God knows what? All things. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All things. God can't learn. God's not trying to figure it out. God can't learn because he already knows it all. It's an attribute that theologians called omniscience. Omni means all, and science means knowledge. God has all knowledge, all, past, present, and future. The God of the Bible is omniscient in that he has all knowledge and information, past, present, and future. Now, and even trip out on this. I mean, this is amazing when you try, as we are a created being, trying to understand the uncreated being that always existed, right? The Bible says that with God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What that means is God is eternal. God doesn't think in time. If I could draw a box and say, here's all time, and draw a line in here, and you and I were created here, we think in sequence of thought, in time. With God, he's outside the box of time. With him, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God doesn't think in sequence. God isn't sitting there going, I wonder what's going to happen now, and then think what's going to happen next, and then move to this. That's not the God of the Bible. He's different. It's an eternal attribute. This is one of the differences between the God of the gospel of Jesus and the God of both Mormonism and Islam. And there is a difference. And here's another difference. Let me read from the Doctrine of Covenants. And this is where it gets tricky. Let me see if I got this one here. Listen to this. This is speaking of God, the Father. The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's. The Son also. But the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of the Spirit. The Bible teaches that God the Father, the Book of Mormon theology teaches that God the Father is a man of flesh and bone who once was a man like you and me, and over time evolved into godhood. God the Father, this theology was coined phrased by the prophet, Mormon prophet Lorenzo Snow, that says, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. Anyone want to be a God? God the Father was once a man of flesh and bone, just like you and me, that evolved into godhood. Mormon theology teaches that God was once a man. That God the Father was given this galaxy to rule over. And he's one God of this galaxy, but there's other gods ruling other galaxies. Mormon theology teaches that spirit children are created from this God and his goddess wife. And these spirit children are waiting for earthly bodies to inhabit. That's why Mormons have lots of children, because it's an encouragement in the church because spirit children are waiting in a pre-existent state to get a body. Do you get that? God the Father was once a man who evolved into godhood, and now he's the God of this galaxy. He's called God the Father in Mormon theology. He has a goddess wife, and he and his wife have spirit children, and these spirit children are in a pre-existent state waiting for us to have children so these kids can come down and have mortal bodies. Do you understand? Now, in Mormon theology, God the Father and his goddess wife, their first spirit child's name is Jesus. He's the firstborn of the spirit children. Satan is his brother. Satan is also a spirit body. You and I are all spirit bodies. We are from God the Father and his goddess wife who created us in spirit form, and we now have earthly bodies. Do you understand? This is why the definitions, when I say God the Father, I mean one thing. When a Mormon says God the Father, they mean something completely different. Jesus wasn't a God, okay, that died on the cross, but he evolved into godhood by dying on the cross, just as all of us can, if we're good enough Mormons. As man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. The Jesus of Mormonism that died on the cross is not the fullness deity indwelling in bodily form. He's a man that by dying on the cross and sacrificing himself has attained godhood. How we doing? You okay? I love Mormons. I don't believe in Mormon theology, and I don't believe in their prophet. I think he's a false prophet. Okay? Now, I can be kind and courteous, but I want to be clear this morning that this series is called What's the Difference? Well, I'm telling you, well, this is a big difference. It's a big difference. The God of the Bible says there is no other God besides him. Here's notes for you. Write this down. Difference. The God of the Bible says there are no other gods but him. Period. Now listen to this. I'm just comparing here. What's the difference? The God of the New Testament gospel of Jesus says there is no other God, period. I'm one and only one, and there is no other. Psalm 92, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. According to this verse, how long will God be God? Everlasting. How long has God been God? Everlasting. How long is everlasting? Is there other gods in other solar systems? Isaiah 43, 10 and 11. The God of the Bible says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. Do you get it? Isaiah 44, 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and there is no gods besides me. There never has been, and there won't be any more. Isaiah 44, 8. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declare it? And if you are my witnesses, is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? God says, I know not none. And does God know all things? Answer? Yes. Difference. The scripture says that Jesus is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. People, write this down. In Mormon theology is... Mormon theology is a different Jesus who hung on the cross. It's identity theft. Does anyone struggle with identity theft in here? The New Testament gospel says that the Jesus who died on the cross is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Colossians says that Jesus is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. Jesus called himself the Son of God. That he and the Father are one in essence. Within the Godhead, there's the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one God manifested in three different persons. It's a mystery. Just like you. You have body, soul, and spirit. You're a trinity. God the Creator even created you with a trinity. The God of Christianity, Jesus of the Christianity, is the second person. It's God who came to earth to die for you. There's been an identity theft in Mormonism. They put on a man just like you who died and in the purpose of him dying evolved into godhood. In Mormon theology, it's a totally different Jesus. Thus, it's a totally different gospel because they messed with the person who hung on the cross. If you mess with who Jesus is that died on the cross or what Jesus did by dying on the cross, you change the gospel. Do you understand? How are you doing this morning? You okay? Let me say this again clear. And I told you this last week. In Islam, the only way that you're promised to go to heaven is if you died for God. And I read you those verses last week. In New Testament Christianity, the only way you get to go to heaven is by God dying for you. Totally different. In New Testament Christianity, religion is people trying to work their way to God through moral effort. Am I good enough? And Jesus says, how good do you have to be in order to go to heaven? Jesus said, well, this is how good you have to be, perfect. Be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the good enough is perfection. How many perfect people do you know? For everyone else, bad news. Your sins separate you from God. And no matter how much of moral effort and work, you cannot do enough. So God, in his love and mercy and grace, comes to you. Jesus comes and dies for you. God takes the form of humanity and pays for our sins on the cross that we might be reconciled to God and our sins never counted against us. This is the gospel of Jesus. In order to understand the gospel of Jesus, you need to know who Jesus is. And the Mormon Jesus and the Jesus of the New Testament gospel are different. Are you with me? Does it make sense? Okay, I want to ask the worship team to come up here. And as they do, let me just be clear on this. And I just was praying this morning. I am so thankful that God the Father, God the eternal God, who always was and always is and always will be, he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end, he is the non-created God that always existed, God the Father. I'm so thankful that God the Father loved me and had mercy on me and grace on me that he would send his son, Jesus, to earth to pay for all of my sins. All means all. And that's all that all means. Jesus has reconciled me to God. And I today have a relationship with God. I have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and my sins someday, friends, probably in this place, Pastor Frank's body probably one day will be here, but it's not me, see. And if I don't like open caskets, so you won't see me. But Someday, all my sins will not be counted against me because of Christ, because he paid for all my sins on the cross. And once Jesus paid for all my sins, I'm so thankful that God sent the Father, and I'm so thankful that God the Father sent the Son, God the Son, and I'm so glad that God the Son sent God the Holy Spirit into my life. Because the same Spirit who rose Jesus from the dead, according to the Bible, dwells in me. Jesus says that unless you are born again, you cannot come into the kingdom, inherit the kingdom. Born again means born from above, born from anew. The moment that you've accepted Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, the Bible says that at that moment, the Spirit of God comes and dwells and lives within you. And in that, you are born again and born anew, regenerated. All the old has been passed away and all the new has come. And you are forever sealed. Sealed with God. This is the gospel. And the Bible says, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. See that beautiful mural? He is risen. He is not here. Jesus arose from the dead. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, dwells in me. And that's awesome. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 3 says, hey guys, who bewitched you? Who messed with you? And he says, I want to ask you the question. The Spirit of God has come upon the church of Galatians. He says, you are all born again. He says, and God has even shown signs and wonders in your church. God has performed miracles in your church. And the Apostle Paul says, did God bring these miracles and signs and wonders by the gospel that I preached to you or from the gospel that someone else is now preaching to you? And it's pretty clear. He says, it's the gospel I've preached to you. It's Jesus plus nothing. And let me know, you got to know who the Jesus is who died. People in this church, we've seen miracles. In this church, we've seen God heal people. In this church, we've seen God do amazing things in people's lives, both physically, spiritually, financially. And as we close this service today, we're going to sing the song, the same Spirit who rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It's so cool. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem till the Spirit of God comes upon you. And then he says, you'll have power to be my witnesses. And then go into the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. I want to close this service today. We're going to sing this song. I love this song. And I just want to say, if you're here today, and either one, you don't know if you've been reconciled to God, and you're here today, and you don't think that your sins, you have not accepted, you've not said yes to Jesus and what he's done for you, you can come forward here, and during these next couple songs, come and pray with us. As a matter of fact, I want to ask Mike and Pat to come up here. They'll be praying with you. I want to ask Pastor Vince and his wife Mary Beth to come up here. I want to ask Pastor Graham and his wife to come up here. I want to ask my beautiful bride to come up here. And here it is. Friends, the Bible says leaders of the church pray for people. And if you're here today and you need someone to pray with you, you come forward here in these next couple songs and we would be honored to. Father in heaven, we love you. We are talking to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, the God who came to earth, born in Bethlehem, who was raised in Nazareth, who rose, who died under the reign of Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem, who hung on the cross for our sins, who ascended into heaven, and who's coming back again. God, we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. For these are the people you desire to worship you with our minds and with our hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into us as Christians. And Lord, for those of us on a spiritual journey, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us, empower us this day. Fill us again this day. Renew us again this day. Empower us again this day. For whatever the week has for us, God, as long as you're with us, we can do anything. We're so thankful for all that you've given us, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, Lord of heaven, I do not deserve the grace that you have given, all the promise of your word. Lord, I stand and wonder at the sacrifice you've made. With mercy beyond measure, my debt you freely paid. Your love is deeper than any ocean, higher than the heavens reaches, beyond the stars in the sky. Jesus, Lord of heaven, I do not deserve the grace that you have given, or the promise of your word. Your love is deeper than many oceans higher, than the heavens reaches, beyond the stars in the sky. Jesus, your love has no bounds. Jesus, your love has no bounds. Your love is deep, your love is wide, your love is great, your love is high, your love is all we ever need, your love is all we ever need. Your love is deep, your love is wide, your love is great, your love is high, your love is all we ever need, your love is all we ever need. Your love is deeper than many oceans higher, than the heavens reaches, beyond the stars in the sky. Jesus, your love has no bounds. Jesus, your love has no bounds.
Lord, we declare an amen to that. We declare an amen to that, that your love has no bounds, that the blood of Jesus, there's no place that your blood cannot penetrate. The darkness of man's sin, nothing can hide from the salvation of our God. And Lord, all you require is a soft heart, a repentance, a willingness to come and kneel before the cross and to accept your Son. Lord, we can't earn good news. We just accept good news. We receive good news. We don't earn good news. We don't work our way to good news. Good news just comes to us, Lord. And we just celebrate in good news. We accept it. Lord, we this morning accept the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of its ramifications. Lord, we just accept your love today. And Lord, we want to tell you today as we end this service that we love you too. And we are grateful people. There is no pride or arrogance within us. We are just humbled by the grace and the mercy of our God, our Creator. We are in awe of your love for us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray today. Give us power to live this life you called us to live. This we pray in Jesus' name for his gospel. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. Would you stand? The Lord bless you is my prayer for you this week. May God bless you. May God watch over you. May God keep you. May God's presence be made known to you. May God grant you this week as you meditate upon the cross and who you are in his Son. May God give you what this world will never give. May God grant you peace. Peace. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you and watch over you. May God's countenance shine upon you. May God give you peace this week, Woodbridge Church. And don't be afraid to be tolerant with all people and love all people. And if God gives you the opportunity, share clarity and truth. Jesus said you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. May you be set free by the truth of Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about religious traditions as we look at Christendom. Within Roman Catholicism, within Protestantism, there has been times that even the church has touched the cross. And we'll talk about that next week. But have a good week this week. And until then, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.